Welcome back to the Christian Life Podcast, where we have good conversations for practical Christian living. Today we are on episode number 20, and we are going to be going over Psalm 37. We are your hosts, Michael Brazier and Art Nurnberg, and I'm excited about this psalm today. It is one of my favorite psalms, and I think it kind of ties into the subject matter of the past 2 weeks that we've kind of gone over. Because it has to do not so much with government, but with life amidst chaos and confusion. And so David is writing this psalm, and it's a, I like it partly because it gives us things to do, and it doesn't discount the situation, but ultimately it leaves the things in the hands of God, and because he has control over it. So it's like a good, it's a reflective psalm because... Because, yeah, it gives us a list of things to do, but it allows us to reflect it in the in terms of looking at how God is interacting with our situation. Yeah, I'm going to just kind of pitch it to you and give us an overview of the psalm and what David is talking about.
Well, we get the psalm, I think, is real important for us to think about after we're thinking about the government issue. Because beyond government and dealing with government, you have to deal with society. And this has to do with how you're going to deal with a, as you said, chaotic society. How are you going to deal with a situation where things just seem completely wrong in every sense around you? And that's kind of the picture that David paints here. So there's just to get an overview of his perspective, number one, he's talking about a day in which the differentiation between people who really know God and those that don't know God is very sharp, okay? Because that doesn't always exist. I grew up in an age when people pretended a lot. And so society, the teachers at school taught us morality. And so there were always the outsiders. There's always the wicked people. There's always the guys that wanted to break the rules. But the majority were going one direction. In this psalm, David is talking about a situation where the majority are opposing God. The second thing that's important is that it's a day in which the people who are opposing God are also prospering. It's going well for them. They have, I won't say governmental control, but they have control of society, even though they are wrong. And then the third thing that comes up in the psalm, which makes it real practical for us today, I think, is that the people who don't want to follow God are actively trying to oppose the people who do want to know, do want to follow God. It's not just a matter of bullies against weak people. It is people who don't love God opposing people who do love God. And so this is a rough day. And how am I going to live in that? How am I going to live in that particular place? And the simple answer, again, we've talked about Psalm 37 before, so we're repeating some of it. But the practical question or practical answer is that I need to live by faith. And I just want to make this mention because I think it's an interesting feature of the psalm. The psalms themselves... never use the word faith. Well, it's almost never used. Because in the Old Testament, the characters don't think of faith as a noun, as a substance, or the thing you have. They think about actions of faith. Faith is an attitude, but it expresses itself. And that expression is in the Psalms. So if you go through the Psalms, you find different phrases, if I am trusting the Lord. The most common one is... I take refuge. The people who, an act of faith is to take refuge in the Lord. But in the book of, or in this psalm, Psalm 37, David really piles them on. He uses almost every phrase that are found in the rest of the psalms in this one psalm. He's trust in the Lord, commit your way to the Lord, wait for the Lord, be still before the Lord. Just delight yourself in the Lord. All these are expressions of faith that he has, he puts in other places, which is important because his basic thought is that when you're in the middle of that society in chaotic situations, don't be distracted by them. Focus on the Lord and keep living your life.
Yeah.
So that's the simple
that's a huge part of what he's trying to communicate.
Right.
And he spends the first 11 verses basically communicating all of that. And then throughout the rest of the psalm, because it's about 40 verses, it is for 40 verses. But he doesn't mention it as much. But those first 11 verses, he just... Yep. He says, like, trust in the Lord, do good, delight yourself in the Lord,
right.
Commit your ways to the Lord. Every verse is basically a new commandment.
Right.
But it all goes back to have faith.
Right.
Like, it's a command to have faith.
Yeah. And faith has to take definite steps.
Yeah.
That's a part of the psalm. You can't drift in faith. You can't. Mm-hmm. You just don't go along and it suddenly emerges. You look at a circumstance, you look at the Lord, and you take definite internal actions with respect to who he is. That's exercise of faith, or else it won't come. So on the one side, he's concerned that people might get overwhelmed, but on the other side, that they might get sucked in. And this is also the other stress, is don't be overwhelmed by the wickedness, but don't be sucked into it.
Yeah.
Don't become one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he starts off this thing where he says, don't fret. Fret is a word which we get a little confused, because it sounds like don't be afraid. Mm-hmm. And it has that element in it, but it's not totally that element. Don't be distracted by it. So it's a combination of distress, which comes when I'm concerned about a situation, but I hate it too.
Yeah.
You that love the Lord hate iniquity, and you're seeing things happen around you which repulse you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's talking about here. They're repulsive. They're so different than the love that God has expressed, that we should be expressing, and that can make you mad. Mm-hmm. So that the fret is on the one side, being a little concerned about the situation, but on the other side, it is it's being angry about it.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things he's very clear here. You have to avoid being trapped by anger when you're in the midst of all that.
That's kind of what verse 8, it's kind of reflecting on verse 1, because it says, refrain from anger, forsake wrath, fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. And I think, like you said, there's those two emotions that we can tend towards. There's this fretting,
right,
which ultimately leads towards a version of wickedness, like
right,
evil.
Right.
And then, but then there's also there's the fretting part, but then there's also like the, just wanting to withdraw almost,
right,
and like not trusting the Lord in that situation. But he commands us like to do good in
right
that situation. And let's talk about that, because that kind of goes back to what we talked about last week, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago. I don't really remember, but it was that in the midst of other countries, or like he was, that kind of reflects on what Nehemiah or Ezra? Jeremiah.
Jeremiah.
It was Jeremiah.
Right.
Who said, like, we have to do good
right
when we are in foreign lands. Like, he was
right
talking to Israel. But Titus kind of reflects that in his command to do good. Seek prosperity of the place that you live in. And this psalm, I think it's interesting because it sets up this chaotic scene.
Right.
But it's in verse 3. Trust in the Lord, but that action of faith leads us to
right
seek the goodness of the place that we live in.
Right.
How do you see that?
Yeah, I think that's a key point here, is that you could get all caught up with people and get angry with them, but you can also, as you said, withdraw. That mm-hmm tendency to, in the middle of a chaotic day, just to say, I'm going to put my head down, I'm going to keep from getting hurt. Mm-hmm. No, trust the Lord, and then be aggressive, do good.
Yeah.
Go. People in the chaos need help.
Mm-hmm.
They need support. They're in chaos too,
yeah,
and they're disturbed. So it's a day in which it's not to withdraw from it, but to trust God and then do good in the middle of it.
I think that kind of demonstrates his heart as well, because he entered our chaotic world.
Right.
I mean, like Jesus did. And in his ministry, there was so much goodness that he met people in their need and demonstrated goodness. And in a small way, we can reflect that as
right
the church. And I think we're called to do that as the church,
yeah,
is to, like, we should be a beacon of light, like a city on the hill. Like
right
there is that
yeah
aspect of it. So in our own world, we can We can do good. We can dwell in the land. What is that? I always kind of, in the ESV, it says befriend faithfulness. Do you have a better description of that? Because what does that mean?
I'll just be real honest with you. After looking at everybody's opinions on it, it's an obscure
terminology.
And okay. The number of different opinions are varied, and I don't have the expertise to distinguish between them. It seems to indicate that what you should be is feeding on the faithfulness of God, trusting that, but that's maybe not right either.
Okay.
It is translated, if you look on a series of translations.
Yeah, I was trying to find that.
Greatly varied.
That's kind of what I remembered.
And it's a hard one to translate. So, again, I just after.
So, like the NIV translates it as enjoy safe pasture.
Right.
What is it?
New American Standard is cultivate faithfulness. Be okay. faithful yourself. That's thought. But the other one is that it's either you should be cultivating and displaying faithfulness, or you should be living off the faithfulness of God. Mm-hmm. But both would be supported by the rest of the psalm. But
yeah,
it's an obscure point. I mean, it just is not the easiest verse to
translate. But it goes back to the Lord's faith.
Right.
Yeah. Like however you translate it or communicate it, but it reflects in some way the Lord's faithfulness.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then he goes on. See, and this is where the act of faith comes, that delight yourself in the Lord. Mm-hmm. Because in a chaotic day, there's always those things which you lose when you're serving God. Because this is part of the picture here. He's thinking about the fact that you're looking at society and it appears that you're on the wrong side of what's going on. He's just facing it. When you're standing for a righteousness and everybody who is unrighteous is prospering in it. It's one thing when they go to jail for it, but if they prosper in it and they're more or less taunting you with the fact that you're a fool for not going along with it, and then they oppose you because of it, and you could escape that opposition by simply giving in. It's easy to get confused in your mind as to what's true. And so he's bringing this before us, that what we should be doing is looking at the long picture, which is where we were last week when we were thinking about this thing. If I'm going to live and be what I should be to government, that's what we were thinking about last week, I have to have a big picture. Where's it going to end? Mm-hmm. You know, it's the other psalmist who says that I came close to stumbling, you know, but then I remembered there's an end to all this. And when I remember where it's going, and the great assurance of the psalm, it's a very interesting one, is that because we're doing this is all working out on earth. It's all working out not in heaven, but here. Where I can see it, the psalmist says that ultimately there will come a day in which the righteous people will possess this earth. It's very close. In fact, it's pretty certain that when the Lord said the meek will inherit the earth, that he is actually quoting from this psalm where it says the humble will inherit the earth. It will be theirs. Finally, it's going to be theirs because that's where it's going, and that there'll come a day when the powerful people that we see around us who look like they control everything just dissipate like a vapor. We were up at the lake. My wife and I were at the lake just this week, and it's interesting to watch mist dissipate. You know, a cloud will come up and just disappears.
Yeah.
And he says that that's just what it's going to be, just like smoke disappears. And
that's kind of what verse 10 is communicating. And in just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there.
Right.
And then it goes into that verse, but the meek or the humble shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. And that reflects in verse 34, which says, wait for the Lord and keep his way.
Right.
And he will exalt you and you to inherit the land, and you will look on when the wicked are cut off.
Right.
And there is that future hope, that future aspect to this psalm that it's not here and now. It's not yet. But one day, you will inherit the land. One day there will be peace. One day God will rule and you will be in this the place that the wicked used to dwell.
Right.
But they're not going to be there. And so there's great comfort in that.
Yeah.
So,
and you may not be able to, there's that feature of our thinking that somehow if we serve the Lord, then we'll be able to enjoy life. Mm-hmm. Right. And it just, it kind of goes that people who are really enjoying life are enjoying it because they're serving the Lord, because they love God. And the psalmist is, David's facing the fact, I mean, David went through some really rough times serving the Lord, right? And you could get in a place where serving the Lord doesn't enable you to enjoy life. And so he tells him, hey, here, do this. Make God your delight. This is an act of faith in which you're going to say that I believe that knowing God is where life is, and I'm going to pursue that. And that's where we twist this all crooked. And he says, and he'll give you the desires of your heart.
Yeah.
We say, well, then he'll give me what I really want. No, if I'm delighted in the Lord, mm-hmm. He promises to let us know him.
Yeah.
We can know that in the middle of all the chaos. And then he'll hold us steady. And then one day, all this disappears. Everything we're seeing. In day, you know, we've already talked about it. Today's just a real interesting day in the history of the world. Things could be, before this is ever published, things could be really rocky with the Middle East in trouble and the economy in trouble. I said, but this will all just disappear and it's over. It's suddenly you come out into a calm and God's in control and the world's yours. And there will be a day when the people of God will delight in God on this earth, and it will be fully blessed.
Hmm. Yeah, and that's tremendous. Just such a great hope. Another thing that I was thinking about when it says delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. When we delight ourselves in the Lord, our heart desires will reflect his ultimately, right? Because and in the New Testament, as Christians, as we grow in Christ and seek him and follow him, we are transformed into his likeness.
Right.
That's what Paul is saying. And then you kind of have that reflection. And as Jesus, your kingdom come, that's our prayer.
Right.
It's just from my kingdom coming to yours come, your kingdom come. And that's what we see is ultimately his kingdom is established and we're a part of that kingdom as the humble, as the meek, as the followers of Jesus. So,
And it all kind of fits along that line that we're coming into that because we're going to do good and we're going to delight in the Lord. And then that giving the desires of the heart is knowing him, but it's also seeing those good things make sense because it says, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him. He'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to see you through on that, doing good. And eventually he says that, that's next one's real important, I think, in it, that he will demonstrate to people around you that you were right, that you were righteous. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, your judgments as the noonday.
Yeah.
It will be clear to people as you're doing all these things, as you're trusting the Lord and doing good, as you are delighting in the Lord, as you are committing your way to the Lord, it will. And it seems at that point he's talking about what will happen in his lifetime, not just what will happen in eternity. So.
Yeah. When one of the other big kind of points in the psalm that there's that aspect of, our response, what we're to do.
Right.
But then another really big section is David's reflection of who the Lord is and what he does and what he values. And he kind of gives this testimony. It says, let's see here, verse 25, it says, I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. He is ever lending generously and his children become a blessing. Turn away from evil and do good. There it is again, that verse about doing good. So shall you dwell forever. And then verse 28 is kind of like a big verse on what is the Lord loving in this situation. And it says, for the Lord loves justice and he will not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the children of the wicked shall be cut off. But I love those two lines, like, for the Lord loves justice, Amen. And he will not forsake his saints.
Amen.
And that is just such a, that can be our refuge, like a refuge right. in that right. time of trouble and that time of chaos, is that the Lord, he sees righteousness and
right.
he loves justice. And he's not going to forget you.
No.
So that, and David gives testimony to that. So
right.
what are your thoughts on that and how that?
Yeah. And I think that's really important to the overall concept, is that you're trusting the Lord. You're counting on the fact that even though the course of history is going a particular direction, God's still in control of it. Mm. And again, I think that one, I know that people don't really like it because it sounds like God doesn't care about them. He says the wicked plots against the righteous, gnashes at him with yeah. his teeth. Lord laughs at him. And the thought there is just that, don't worry about it. The Lord has it under control. Mm-hmm. And he knows where this is going to end, because he knows that ultimately he's after righteousness. Ultimately he's after peace and joy and all those, and goodness and all those things that you're expressing. And it will come to pass that this earth is under his control, and he will take it there. So you're right. This is really important. And that's why it's important for us not to get trapped into vengeance on us. Mm. Because that's one of the big things he warns against here. That, don't forsake anger.
Yeah.
Forsake wrath. It leads only to evil doing. We already mentioned that. But the next line is, and the evil doers will get cut off.
Yeah.
You don't want to be in that category.
Yeah.
So be very cautious to keep your life a life of faith, because it's easy with a sense of right and wrong to get into an angry mode. Mm. And I think it's one of the things in our own day with the deluge of information we get about what's yeah. going on, and with a sense of righteousness, and with the sense that the world is really forsaking it, you can get really angry.
Yeah.
And in one sense, that's a legitimate response, because you're to hate iniquity and it's all over the place. But he says, forsake it. Don't go there. Don't fret.
Yeah.
And the fret has the idea of letting something boil over in you.
Yeah. Like you kind of simmer on it. You're just yeah. like, it's like festering inside
right.
of you.
It's the meditations of your heart. You yeah. don't want that to be the meditations of your heart. You don't want to be thinking too long. You can't ignore the fact that it's out there, but you don't want to be trapped by it into yeah. a place where you become angry in your soul. Instead of doing good, mm-hmm. then you're wanting to beat up people and
yeah.
see things fall apart. Or, I mean, it mm-hmm. can happen. So there's two sides. You don't want to be part of them, but you don't want to be envious. That's the other thing he says. You don't want to envy their position and wish you had yeah. the upper hand and you could make it happen.
Yeah.
Now, trust the Lord, do good.
Because he's the one who ultimately brings about justice,
right.
not us.
No.
And I think that's a big point.
Right.
Another big point that I kind of was just thinking about was that the contrast between the future kingdom, which is one of peace,
right.
and the current situation, which is like chaos.
Right.
And that desire is that amidst the chaos, we are desiring peace. And even if that's just inward, like yeah. the world may be falling apart, but inwardly we have to be people
right.
that are trusting the Lord through faith, and that is in turn resulting in peace in
right.
our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can't control everything out there,
nope.
but we can control our hearts. And
right.
so, and I think that goes for any circumstance that we face, is that a pattern of setting the Lord before ourselves and then trusting him, whether that's like societal chaos, health chaos, like whatever
right.
the situation is, we can spiral in
right.
our own hearts.
Right.
But learning to set the Lord before us and being still before him and waiting yeah. patiently for him, because that will result in an ultimate peace. So,
right. If our hearts are clear, if our hearts are at peace, then we're going to be able to live that life
yeah.
of faith. I think it's one of the points that I watch the society right at the moment, and people are promoting a whole lot of ungodly behavior. But it is obvious that in order for them to enjoy their ungodly behavior, they need my support. They need to know that I am accepting them. Everyone wants to be accepted. Nobody wants to, don't judge me. Don't say that. And again, we're not here to, what I'm concerned about is the inward being. Mm-hmm. It can't be a peace because you can't get to a place where people accept you. Yeah. And the psalmist here is saying, if I'm right with God on this, if I stick with that, everything will be okay. Mm-hmm. I can then be to people around me what I need to be to them because I don't need them. And I think that feature of life, because I'm supported by God and satisfied in Him, and I have everything I need in Him. Mm-hmm. And it's true. He's given the church. He's given the brothers and sisters, and we need them. I'm not trying to undercut that.
Yeah.
But in another sense, I can't guarantee them. Mm-hmm. But I can guarantee the Lord's with me.
Yeah.
And I can be at peace. And if people don't like me about what I do, it's not a big deal because I know that's what the psalmist is saying. I'm confident that in the end, I'm on the right path and I'm mm-hmm. going to stick with this path.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, that's a huge thing. Now, it ends with this verse. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord, and He is the stronghold in the time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them, and He delivers them from the wicked, and He saves them because they take refuge in Him. And you kind of started with that. Taking refuge in the Lord is kind of the psalmist's most common way of communicating, right, having faith in Him.
Right.
Do you want to kind of summarize that? Or?
Yeah, I think I think it's an important picture because, you know, we use different pictures for faith. You know, what does it mean to have faith? And again, each of the pictures is pointed to a particular thing. Again, an empty hand receives salvation from the Lord. That's a good picture of one dimension of faith. Mm-hmm. I think as far as a picture of faith, the psalmist picture of taking refuge is such an important picture because it's talk about somebody, again, you could think of it like a storm that's out there. Again, I was at the lake last week, and a storm came across that lake. You couldn't see anything. I mean, it was really windy, and it was really raining. And you're going, it's just nice to be inside right now. It's nice to be inside of a house where I can look at the storm, but I am completely protected here from all those things. So to exercise faith is to come to the Lord in such a way that you're putting yourself in Him where He becomes a cave, a house, a fortress. You're taking refuge there. You're coming and completely throwing yourself on Him. But it's not just that you're receiving something from the outside, but you are encased in Him. Mm-hmm. And that was David said, the angel of the Lord encamps around those that fear Him. That I am in the Lord. Mm-hmm. I think it's a tremendous picture of faith. Mm-hmm. I haven't just received something from Him. I have entrusted myself to Him, and He becomes a shelter for me, mm-hmm. no matter what happens. Mm-hmm. And in every dimension of my life, so psalmist, it is interesting that after going through all the others, he finishes up with, and that's his most common way of express. David's most common way of expressing what it means to trust God, take mm-hmm. refuge in Him.
That's really good. Now, kind of a summary or a conclusion, how can we practically apply this psalm to our life? Because maybe I'll date this podcast, but like this morning people woke up and the stock market was doing terrible.
Yeah.
Like I saw a headline, it was like $1 trillion lost in like the first couple minutes of the stock market opening. I mean, like that can just rip apart your financial security or this and that. I mean, like... And so people can be woken up and their whole world is shattered.
Right.
In just one moment. Or, you know, someone could be diagnosed with some disease or something. Yeah. How can we practically apply what David is communicating here to these life situations that we all go through.
Okay, and I think that takes us back to the what we talked about at the beginning, as far as the psalmist's view of faith is that I take definite action. Right? If I trust, then it is expressed by, now again, they're inward actions, most of them, but they're still definite actions. They're not just, I believe that God's out there. No, the trust in the Lord is that, okay, here is an issue which is confronting me. Mm-hmm. What am I going to do with that? Mm-hmm. I have two choices with respect to that. I can either let that circumstance dominate me, or, as we say so often, I can let the Lord dominate me. And I can return to him and put it into his hands. Mm-hmm. Man who founded, Dr. McQuilkin, who founded the Columbia, was Columbia International now, it was mm-hmm. Columbia Bible College at the time, but when he founded it, they had just gotten started and the stock market crashed. Mm-hmm. They were trying to get it going and everything, but one of the students who was there said he came in that morning whistling an old song, which we don't sing anymore, but it's "Everything's Fine in My Father's House." Hmm. So he has a choice. He can either be concerned that, hey, boy, where are we going to get support for this place with the stock market under? Or you can look to the Lord in the whole thing. You can say, well, it does matter, because David is not, he's not pretending that this isn't a problem.
Yeah.
He got people that, he's not discounting any of the problems. He's just saying that ultimately I'm going to have to say, okay, here are the circumstances. Lord, I'm going to trust you in them. I'm going to take refuge in you. I don't know what you're going to do. I can commit my way to you. And I'm going to live delighting in who you are. I'm going to make knowing you mm-hmm. a key part of my life. And I think that's a big one for our day. Mm-hmm. We not only have to have faith to respond out here, but do we delight? Have we made that our direction? Mm-hmm. Have we made that the direction of our lives to really know who he is? Mm-hmm. So that but you'll trust the person you know.
Yeah.
That's just fundamental. Trust is a personal issue. I don't trust people I don't know, and I don't trust people who have failed me.
Yeah.
I have to find someone who I know who has been faithful.
Yeah.
And so that's the delighting there is a big part of it, that mm-hmm. I have to practically spend time getting to know him in such a way, trusting him for little things, so that at the big point,
you know,
he's the same God.
Yeah.
And I know he's the same God. Mm-hmm. Because life is an endless stream of opportunities to trust.
Yeah.
I mean, there's difficulties on every side.
But
so practically I think it's getting that definiteness about it. Because I think at the time we were a little bit hope so. Mm-hmm. No, I'm going to definitely do this. I believe that this is true, and therefore I'm going to act on it as true. That's faith.
Yeah.
It's listening to what God says and then building my life around what he says, mm-hmm. taking the actions on that.
So, I think one of the things that we can face is these situations can be really difficult, and right. David doesn't discount that. I mean,
right.
The language he uses, the way that he communicates it, is that these are evil people. They're out to harm you.
I mean,
they're facing real evil and wickedness and in chaos. And when we trust in the Lord and we delight ourselves in the Lord and we commit our ways to him and we're being still before him, that is an act of worship, but it's also an act of we're just pouring our heart
right
out to the Lord.
Yeah.
And one of the Psalms that I was reading recently communicates the Lord, he bottles up our tears.
Right.
And that's such a comforting thought, because in a really difficult situation like this, or in a difficult situation that
right.
whatever that looks like our tears are part of the way in which he doesn't discount our tears
right.
and he doesn't discount our feelings. And he knows them, and that's part of us communicating our heart to the Lord.
Right.
But in that we see his tender care for us right. and his refuge. And he just right. it's like, I have you, I'm holding you.
Right.
And we can, so it's both an act of faith, but it's also demonstration of God's faithfulness ultimately. Right. Yep. So I think like those are some really big points that hopefully are really comforting to people. Yeah. But it gives us something to do. We tangibly can trust God. And yeah. But that starts with a place of coming to
right.
Him.
Right.
Delighting
that,
in Him.
And that would, again, one of the translations of that verse we said earlier that so difficult to translate.
Oh, yeah.
But it brings out that thought. It's, you know, whether it's the actual, it's throughout the scriptures, mm-hmm. is this, that trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Mm-hmm. That's one way it can be translated. Feed on His faithfulness. And that's the way we come to that trust, is we're feeding on His faithfulness. We've learned it in experience, but we've learned it through His word. We find out what He says He'll be. Mm-hmm. And as we're, so for a person to express that kind of trust, he's going to have to, on the one side, study what the word of God says, because you can't make up God. Yeah. That's called idolatry. I have to find out who He is and respond to Him. And the second thing is I'm going to have to pray. I'm going to have to spend time directing my heart towards mm-hmm. Him, trusting Him, committing my way to Him, delighting in Him. These are all acts which are associated with prayer, but they have to have a foundation, which is from the study of the word. So those two parts, if I'm not keeping close on both of those, you'll probably end up angry.
Yeah. And that is the other kind
or
of
fearful.
Fearful or angry. You just kind of withdraw from the situation, right. or you're so involved in the situation right. that you end up looking just like the wicked person.
Right. And or you walk away.
Yeah.
And just you lose perspective and you begin to focus on having a good life right here, mm-hmm. right now. God's not against you having that, but if that's where you're gonna focus, you're gonna get clobbered here.
Yeah. And that goes back, one of the quotes that I found recently was by Corrie ten Boom, and she said, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God.
Right.
And Amen. There is a lot of unknown in the world, and yet we're called to know God.
Right.
And that's basically the call of the psalm.
Right. Amen.
So anything else you want to add?
No, I think that's a good quote to finish with.
Yeah. Hopefully this was an encouraging psalm to everybody. And I know I found it encouraging. I know you've communicated that you found it really encouraging throughout right. life. But it's one that you can kind of, it's like a touchstone. You can right. go back to it over right. and over again. And I appreciate that the psalmist is a little vague in the situation that he's facing, because yep. it applies then to a large right. part of life.
Right.
Well, anyways, you can listen to all of our previous podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. We will see you again next week. And until then, may the Lord bless you.